Will you take your Bibles, please, and turn to Luke chapter 1. Luke chapter 1. The subject, Blessed Are You Among Women. Luke chapter 1, beginning at verse 26. Blessed are you among women. Why was Mary so blessed? The Bible does not say, blessed are you above women. It said, blessed are you among women. Big difference. Luke 1, 26. Now in the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent by God to a city of Galilee named Nazareth, to a virgin betrothed to a man whose name was Joseph of the house of David. The virgin's name was Mary. And having come in, the angel said to her, Rejoice, highly favored one, the Lord is with you. Blessed are you among women. But when she saw him, she was troubled at his saying, and considered what manner of greeting this was. Then the angel said to her, Do not be afraid, Mary, for you have found favor with God. And behold, you will conceive in your womb and bring forth a son, and shall call his name Jesus. He will be great and will be called the Son of the Highest, and the Lord God will give him the throne of his father David. And he will reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there will be no end. Then Mary said to the angel, How can this be, since I do not know a man? And the angel answered and said to her, The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Highest will overshadow you. Therefore also that Holy One who is to be born will be called the Son of God. Now indeed, Elizabeth, your relative, has also conceived a son in her old age, and this is now the sixth month for her who was called barren. For with God, nothing will be impossible. Then Mary said, Behold, the maidservant of the Lord. Let it be to me according to your word. And the angel departed from her. Now Mary arose in those days and went into the hill country with haste to a city of Judah, and entered the house of Zacharias and greeted Elizabeth. And it happened when Elizabeth heard the greeting of Mary that the babe leaped in her womb. And Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Spirit. Then she spoke out with a loud voice and said, Blessed are you among women, and blessed is the fruit of your womb. But why is this granted to me that the mother of my Lord should come to me? For indeed, as soon as the voice of your greeting sounded in my ears, the babe leaped in my womb for joy. Blessed is she who believed, for there will be a fulfillment of those things which were told her from the Lord. And Mary said, My soul magnifies the Lord, and my spirit has rejoiced in God my Savior. For he has regarded the lowly state of his maidservant, for behold, henceforth all generations will call me blessed. For he who is mighty has done great things for me, and holy is his name. And his mercy is on those who fear him from generation to generation. He has shown strength with his arm. He has scattered the proud in the imagination of their hearts. He has put down the mighty from their thrones and exalted the lowly. He has filled the hungry with good things, and the rich he has sent away empty. He has helped his servant Israel in remembrance of his mercy, as he spoke to our fathers, to Abraham, and to his seed forever. And Mary remained with her about 3 months and returned to her house. Will you join me, please, in prayer? Father, we thank you and we praise you for your wonderful word. And on this special Mother's Day celebration, God, we pray that we'll know, every one of us, why we are so blessed. And thank you, Lord, for Mary and for the blessing of God that was on her life. And may it be an encouragement to all of us, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, why exactly was Mary so blessed? Mary is never called the Mother of God. Never. Not in the Bible. But there's a religious tradition, the Roman Catholic Church, that feels very strongly about it and calls her the Mother of God. She's never addressed that way at all in the Bible. God never had a beginning. It's true by the incarnation, where God becomes flesh, that somehow, known to God, certainly not to us, the infinite God who fills the universe with his presence localized himself in a bodily substance. Now, how he did that, I don't know. The Bible says it's the great mystery of godliness that God became flesh. And when we look at that whole miracle of God becoming a baby in the womb of Mary, understand something. Mary is not the mother of God. Mary is the mother of Jesus. I was in a radio rally in Toronto, Canada, and a gentleman got involved with me in the question and answer time about Mary. I didn't know at the time that he was a Roman Catholic priest who was upset at what I was teaching over the radio and had come in just an average three-piece suit and a briefcase and wanted to get into an argument about Mary. I didn't know he was a priest at all, so I kept talking to him about it, and in front of that great audience that night, I simply asked him the question, do you believe that Mary is a sinner? He said, absolutely not. So therefore, she did not need a Savior. That's true. You believe that Mary was immaculately conceived herself? He said, that is true. You believe that her mother was also immaculate conceived? He said, that is true. I said, how about the grandmother? He said, we haven't decided on that yet. Now, folks, we're not here to make fun of people who believe these things. I want you to know they're very, very serious. On the other hand, the Protestant church, it seems to me, does not quite understand what the Bible says about the blessing of Mary. God does highly honor Mary in the Bible. The Bible never says to pray to Mary. Never. Not once. The Bible never says Mary will answer your prayers. Not at all. We're not to pray to Mary. We're to pray to our Lord. But when we come to understand the blessing of God upon Mary, there's a tremendous amount of application to our lives as well. Now, why was Mary so blessed? Number one, look please at verse 28. She was blessed because of the grace of God. She was blessed because of the grace of God. In Luke 1:28, it says, the angel said to her, rejoice, highly favored one. The Greek word is the word grace in what we call a perfect tense. You have been graced. The Lord is with you. Blessed are you among women. Look at verse 30. The angel said to her, do not be afraid, Mary, for you have found favor. The word is grace with God. Now, grace, folks, gives us what we do not deserve. The Bible is filled with statements about God's grace. Grace helps you in a time of weakness. In 2 Corinthians 12, Paul had a physical infirmity. He begged God three times to take it from him. God did not do that. And Paul learned this lesson. My grace, God said, is sufficient for you. God will sustain you with His grace. The Bible says we've received grace upon grace, and of His grace we have all received. Grace is a wonderful word. Turn please to Ephesians chapter 2. Ephesians chapter 2. Mary was blessed because of the grace of God. God giving to her what she did not deserve. Ephesians chapter 2 tells us that we were dead in trespasses and sins. It tells us we walked according to the course of this world. Verse 3 tells us we are by nature the children of wrath. Verse 4, but God, who is rich in mercy because of His great love with which He loved us, even when we were dead in trespasses, made us alive together with Christ. By grace you have been saved, and raised us up together and made us sit together in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus, that in the ages to come He might show the exceeding riches of His what? His grace in His kindness toward us in Christ Jesus. For by grace you have been saved through faith, and that, referring to salvation by grace, is not of yourself. It's a gift of God. The word grace means gift. Not of works, lest anyone should boast. For we are His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. God's grace gives us what we don't deserve, and we are blessed because of it. Amen, Christians? We are really blessed because of the grace of our Lord. We've not been saved by human effort and performance. We have been saved by the wonderful grace of God. We sang that song, Amazing Grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. I once was lost, but now I'm found, was blind, but now I see. The song says that it was grace that has led me through toils and dangers and snares, and it is grace that will bring me home. It's all of grace, God giving to us what we don't deserve. And because of that, we are so blessed. Amen? We are. Number two, turn back to Luke chapter 1. Why was Mary so blessed? One, because of the grace of God. Two, because of the greatness of the child that was born in her womb, from her womb. The greatness of the child. The Bible does not speak of the greatness of Mary. The Bible speaks of the greatness of her child. I read in Luke 1, verse 31. Behold, you will conceive in your womb and bring forth a son, shall call his name Jesus. He will be great, will be called the Son of the Highest. The Lord God will give him the throne of his father David, and he will reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there will be no end. Mary learns of his position. He's the Son of the Highest. He's going to sit on the throne of David. She learns of the permanence of his kingdom. It'll be forever. And she immediately says, how can this be? I don't know a man. I'm a virgin. How in the world could that be? And the angel said, the Holy Spirit will come on you, and the power of the Highest will overshadow you. Therefore also that Holy One who is to be born will be called the Son of God. Why was Mary so blessed? Because of the greatness of the child that would be born. Not the greatness of Mary. Several years ago, I was visiting Rome and St. Peter's Church. We had a tour group, and there was a priest who was taking us through the Vatican. And as we walked into St. Peter's and turned to the right, and we were going down the hallway, there's this beautiful, beautiful sculpture of Mary holding Jesus in her lap. Many of you have seen that, of course, in painting as well as pictures. But to see the actual statue there is just, you know, awesome, awe-inspiring. And he is waxing eloquently, the guide, about Mary. And Jesus looks like he just came off the cross, and they laid her in Mary's lap. The Bible doesn't say that, by the way, but that's the picture. And it's a very tender and moving scene. And I watched various ladies kneel down and cry and kiss the image and so forth. And he was speaking about how wonderful Mary is and how she was blessed among women. You know, I have a problem. I'm a motor mouth. It's very hard for me to keep quiet. And I heard all that he was saying, and I just felt compelled to say something. And I said, well, the reason why Mary's blessed is because of who Jesus is, not because of anything in her. He wasn't real thrilled about that. And I said, I want you to know that you got this little statue wrong. We what? Well, you have the statue wrong. Whoever did that didn't do it right. I said, what? Why? I said, because we shouldn't have Jesus laying like that in his mother's lap, because he arose from the dead. He's King of Kings and Lord of Lords. What we should have is Jesus holding his mother in his arms. Now we got the picture. It's not Mary holding her dead, suffering Savior. It's the risen Lord holding Mary in his arms. That's the picture. You want to know why we're so blessed? Not because Mary was great, but because of the greatness of the child. It doesn't say she's great. It says he's great. We better understand that. Number three, you want to know why she's so blessed? Look, please, down at verse 37. She not only hears about how she's going to supernaturally conceive a child without having sex with any man, but she also learns that Elizabeth, her relative, who has been barren all these years, is now in her old age. She's now pregnant. And you can imagine the impact of this on Mary at this time. Verse 37, for with God, nothing will be impossible. I'll tell you why Mary was blessed and why we are blessed. Not only because of the grace of God and the greatness of the child who's now our wonderful King of Kings and Lord of Lords, but she was blessed because of the God who can do the impossible. And so are we. What a lesson to all of us. Have you noticed in the Bible how many women in the plan of God were barren? Think for a moment of Sarah herself. She was barren. When did she have a child? When she was 90 years old. Now that's what I call miraculous. 90 years old, she has a child. Oh, how about Isaac? Rebecca is barren, and God answers prayer there, and she has two twins, Jacob and Esau. We look through the history of the Bible, and we see lots of people who were barren, and the Bible says with God, nothing is impossible. I look at, in by way of application, at life like that. Life sometimes is barren. It is dry. It's like a wilderness, and there's nothing happening. But with God, all things are possible. A lot of us have lost confidence in the Lord, and we've lost the blessing of God. We are so blessed. Why? Because we have a God who can do the impossible. Look at Luke chapter 18, please. Luke chapter 18. Why was Mary so blessed? She was blessed because of the grace of God. She was blessed because of the greatness of the child who would be born of her womb. She was blessed, third, because of the God who can do the impossible. In Luke 18, verse 18, a ruler came to Jesus. He said, "Good teacher, what shall I do to inherit eternal life?" They had quite a discussion, and Jesus told him to sell all he has and he'd have treasure in heaven and come and follow me. That's in verse 22. Verse 23 says, "When he heard this, he became very sorrowful, for he was very rich." When Jesus saw that he became very sorrowful, he said, "How hard it is for those who have riches to enter the kingdom of God. For it is easier for a camel to go through a needle's eye than for a rich man to enter the kingdom of God." And those who heard it said, "Who then can be saved?" But he said, "The things which are impossible with men are possible with God." We used to sing an old chorus many years ago. "Got any rivers you think are uncrossable? Got any mountains you can't tunnel through? God specializes in things thought impossible. He'll do for you what no other friend can do." Amen. Why are we so blessed? Because we have a God who answers prayer. We have a God who can do the impossible. Back to Luke 1. The fourth reason why she was so blessed is because of the greeting which caused Elizabeth's baby to leap in her womb for joy. This is a great little story. We referred to it in a previous message in the Gospel of John. It said in verse 41, "When Elizabeth heard the greeting of Mary, that the babe," that's John the Baptist, "leaped in her womb. And Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Spirit. She spoke with a loud voice and said, 'Blessed are you among women, and blessed is the fruit of your womb.'" Why is this granted to me that the mother of my Lord should come to me? "For indeed, as soon as the voice of your greeting sounded in my ears, the babe leaped in my womb for joy." Watch this, verse 45. "Blessed is she who believed, for there will be a fulfillment of those things which were told her from the Lord." Why was Mary so blessed? Because she believed that what God had said to her would come to pass. Do you believe that? Jesus said, "Blessed are those who have never seen, yet still believe." Do you believe? Do you believe what the Bible says when it says, "Heaven and earth will pass away, but my words will never pass away"? We are so blessed. She was blessed because of the greeting which caused Elizabeth's baby to leap for joy, and Elizabeth to say to her, "Mary, the reason you're blessed is because you believed it, and there's going to be a fulfillment of what was told to you." All of us are blessed when we believe it. Yesterday, I spent a little time with my mother, who has been hospitalized now for almost 4 years, hadn't moved out of bed, and she's in a lot of pain and wants to go home to be with the Lord. She's suffering greatly. And it was a difficult time, to say the least. But anyway, my aunt, who was in the room with her, called me over to her bed. My aunt's 91, and she called me over to her bed, and she said, "You know, it's been rough." I said, "Yes, I know." And she said, "Your mother wants to die." I said, "Yes." She said, "I want to tell you what I told her." I said, "What did you tell her?" She said, "Well, last night when she was screaming with all the pain, she said, I got my little walker and I walked over there and I told her," I said, "Ethel," that's her name, she said, "Ethel," she said, "I know you want to go home to be with the Lord, but I think we're focusing on the wrong thing. Both you and I have lived a long life. But," she said, "the good news of the gospel is Jesus is going to come back. And if he comes tonight, we're going to go home to be with him. And I don't think we should focus on our pain. I think we should focus on the Lord coming back. Ethel, it's really true. Jesus Christ is going to come again. It's really true. We're going to have a brand new body. And she told me all this, and I thanked her, and she looked at me and kind of intensely and said, David, it's really true. She sensed my depression and discouragement of the moment and said, David, it's really true. I said, you bet it is, Aunt Hazel. It's true. Jesus Christ is going to come back. Amen. Blessed are those who believe, for there will be a fulfillment of all that the Lord has told us. Sometimes we need to give ourselves a good kick in the pants and realize that what we say we believe is the whole reason why we're so blessed of God. Do you still believe? You still believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God and the Savior of the world, one day He's going to break through the clouds, praise God. And we're going to go home and be with Him forever. Home is there, not here. Even though He's going to bring that heavenly home here with a brand new earth someday. Praise the Lord. She was so blessed. Number five, I'll tell you why Mary was blessed. Catholics speak of this with great richness and sensitivity when they speak of the Magnificent of Mary. What they're talking about is verse 46 to 55, where Mary said, my soul magnifies the Lord. You know why Mary was so blessed? She was blessed because of the glory that she gave to the Lord. She was blessed because of the glory she gave to the Lord. I read this list and I said, man, Mary is really praising God. Follow it quickly with me. Not only did she say, my soul magnifies the Lord, verse 48, He has regarded. Verse 49, He who is mighty has done great things. Holy is His name. Verse 50, His mercy is on those who fear Him. Verse 51, He has shown strength. He has scattered. Verse 52, He has put down. He is exalted. Verse 53, He has filled. Verse 54, He has helped. My dear friends, the greatest thing that can set us free as believers to live in this world until we await for the coming of Christ is to focus on what He is and what He is doing and not on ourselves. The root of every problem in the Christian life, as far as I'm concerned, is a misunderstanding or a misapplication of who God is and what He can do. I've come to believe that. My problem is I become man-centered. I look at my circumstances instead of the living God. Mary was so blessed. Why? Because she gave glory to God. Because of the glory she gave to the Lord. And we'll be blessed the same way. I love her statement, my soul magnifies the Lord. You ever thought about that? What that means is my soul enlarges Him every time I think about Him. Or we'd say in the vernacular, every time I think about Him, He gets bigger and bigger. I like that. Every time I think of the Lord and I read what the Bible says, He gets bigger and bigger and bigger. When I ignore Him and neglect Him in my life, He gets smaller and smaller. I think about my problems and what can't be done. But as I begin to glory in the Lord, all of a sudden I see what He can do. And my heart is lifted up. We are so blessed. Number six. Look back at verse 47. Why was Mary so blessed? She was blessed because of the grace of God. She was blessed because of the greatness of the child who would be born. She was blessed because of the God who can do the impossible. Blessed because of the greeting which caused Elizabeth's baby to leap for joy. And she learned because she believed it would happen. And she was blessed because of the glory that she gave to the Lord. But number six, she was blessed, according to her own words, because of the gift of salvation which her baby would bring. She was blessed because of the gift of salvation which her baby would bring. Verse 47, she said, my spirit has rejoiced in God my what? Wait a minute, if Mary's not a sinner, then why does she need a Savior? It was Mary who said, rejoiced in God my Savior. Mary knew she was a sinner. Mary knew she needed a Savior. And no matter how many church councils and authorities say that Mary was not a sinner, that she was immaculately conceived, that is not taught in the Bible. Mary needed a Savior, and so do you and I. I rejoice, she says, in God, my Savior. Turn back to Matthew chapter 1, please. Her husband Joseph also got the message. In Matthew 1, 18, they were not married at the time, they were only engaged. It says, now the birth of Jesus Christ was as follows. After his mother Mary was betrothed or engaged to Joseph, before they came together, she was found with child of the Holy Spirit. Then Joseph, her husband, being a just man, not wanting to make her a public example, was minded to put her away secretly. That's referring to getting a bill of divorcement, which was required to even break an engagement. But while he thought about these things, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream, saying, Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take to you Mary, your wife, for that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Spirit. And she will bring forth a son, and you shall call his name Jesus, for he will save his people from their, what? Sins. No sin, no need of a Savior. Mary rejoiced in God, her Savior. He will save his people from their sins. I'll tell you how you can really get blessed today. You can get blessed by receiving the gift of salvation. I never forget this in my life personally, and I remind myself of it constantly, that every sin I have ever committed, every sin I will ever commit in the future, was paid for by my blessed Lord when he died on the cross for my sins. I have been forgiven. I don't have to force myself to believe it. It's on page after page in this blessed book. I have been totally forgiven of everything I've ever done or could think of doing. My God has removed my transgressions as far as the east is from the west, and he's dumped them into the deepest sea. There is no condemnation to me, according to the Bible, none whatsoever, because Jesus died on the cross and paid for all of my sins. I'm trusting what he has done, and I have been forgiven, the Bible says. I have a Savior. And you ask me if I've been blessed? You better believe it. I am blessed of the Lord. I have peace in my life because of it. Even though sometimes in my life I question, I know what I'm like and I wonder why. I think of God's favor and I think of his grace and I know he's been merciful. But I'll tell you, what blesses me is I have a Savior. He loves me and he's forgiven me. Do you have that? It's a gift of salvation, friends, that blesses our hearts. And Mary knew it. She rejoiced, exploded with praise, if you like, in God, her Savior. Do you have a Savior? The seventh and final thing that made Mary so blessed is an interesting statement in Luke 1, 54 and 55. She was blessed because of the guarantee that God had given. You say, what are you talking about? Look at verse 54. It says that he has helped his servant Israel in remembrance of his mercy as he spoke to our fathers, to Abraham, and to his seed forever. She is talking about the blessing of God that would come to the whole world through the promise that God gave to Abraham. And she was so blessed because of the guarantee that God had given. It wasn't based on Israel's performance. It was rooted in God's mercy and love. It was an unconditional covenant that a seed, a descendant of Abraham, would be the blessing of the whole world. Turn, please, to Galatians chapter 3. And in the New Testament, it refers to this guarantee from God that was given to Abraham and all the Jewish fathers. It refers to it as a blessing for the entire world. Look at Galatians chapter 3, please, beginning at verse 6. She was so blessed because of the guarantee that God had given. In Galatians 3:6, it says, just as Abraham believed God, and it was accounted to him for righteousness, therefore know that only those who are of faith are sons of Abraham. And the Scripture foreseeing, seeing ahead of time, that God would justify the nations by faith, preached the gospel to Abraham beforehand, saying, in you all the nations shall be what? Blessed, it says. So then, those who are of faith are what? Blessed with believing Abraham. Verse 14, that the blessing of Abraham might come upon the Gentiles in Christ Jesus, that we might receive the promise of the Spirit through faith. How are we blessed? We are blessed by a guarantee which God gave to Abraham that in his seed would come a Redeemer, Christ our Lord, who would set us free. Verse 13 says, Christ has redeemed us from the curse of the law, having become a curse for us. Verse 16 says, to Abraham and his seed were the promises made. He does not say, and the seeds, plural, as of many, but as of one. When I look at this and I read what Mary said in Luke 1, my heart rejoices. Mary said, in remembrance of his mercy, he spoke to our fathers, to Abraham and to his seed forever. How are we blessed? The Bible says, through the seed of that promise that God gave to Abraham long ago, over 2,000 years before Christ, almost 4,000 years ago, God gave a guarantee, and he has not changed from it since then. Our God will not lie. According to Hebrews 6, it's an immutable promise of God that he gave to Abraham. It is impossible for God to change his mind or lie on that subject. There is salvation to all the Gentiles of the world who will believe in the Jewish Messiah. There is salvation for all of us. We are so blessed. I'm going to count to three, and if you mean it, I want you to say, I am so blessed. One, two, three. I am so blessed. Amen. Amen. Let's close with prayer. Father, I thank you and praise you for the blessing of God that has come through our Lord Jesus Christ. Lord, I would pray for those in our audience who have heard what we've said today, but they know that has never been settled personally in their hearts. They're not sure if they died now, they'd be in heaven. They're not sure they've really come to put their faith and trust in what Jesus did 1900 years ago. God, by your Holy Spirit, I would ask you to move in the hearts of both moms and dads, kids here, grandparents. God, help us to see that without you there is no blessing. And I pray, God, that you would move by your Holy Spirit on all of us to see our need of a Savior and that we turn to the Lord before it's too late. Thank you, Lord, for what you're going to do, and it's in Jesus' name that we pray. Amen.